Matthew 25, 35 and 36. Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me."
I'm going to read from Jonah chapter 4, if you'd like to look at it. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, but Jonah chapter 4. You would think if a man had been charged to preach and there were tremendous results, you would think he'd be exuberant, wouldn't you? Jonah, however, was not. He had preached what God told him in the city of Nineveh, and here's his reaction. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." He's angry because they repented. "And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster.'" And the idea is Jonah didn't want Nineveh to receive mercy. He wanted them to get what they deserved. Of course, he never asked, "Can I have what I deserve, Lord?" He didn't think to do that. Well, the reason that scripture comes to mind is that's kind of the attitude we might take toward those who are incarcerated, those who are in prison. We might say, "Well, they've got what they deserve, and let them just sit there and rot. Put them in jail, put the key underneath the jail, and let it be." I can't imagine Jesus ever taking that attitude. I heard at the workshop I went to in New Orleans this summer for prison and jail workers, somebody made the statement, "Nobody ever planned to go into prison ministry." And the more I've thought about that, the more I said, "Well, that's right. I never really planned to get into it, but here I am." And I blame this fellow right here. Marshall Danby is somebody that has a heart for prison ministry, and he'll tell you the same thing. That's something he never planned to get into, but sometimes the door opens, and you got to ask, "Do I walk through this, or do I pass?" And in the time that I've been working in the prison up at Mountain City and a little bit at Rome Mountain, I've seen men that have done horrible things. But I've also seen men that realize they've done horrible things, and that's not the way they want to keep going. They're looking for something better. And those are the kind of people Jesus is looking for, people that know they've taken a very wrong path, and they want to do better. And so tonight, we're going to try to tell you in a few minutes what we're doing up at Mountain City and at Rome Mountain, some of the results that we're seeing, some of the people here that have gotten involved. And I think you're going to say at the end of it, "Praise God, because it is to Him that all the glory is due." Marshall?
Thank you, Tim. See if we can get this working. It's that priming you talked about Wednesday night, is that right? Okay. Thanks, Tim. What Tim said is right about prison ministry. I've yet to meet anyone who said, "I had it on my bucket list, I want to go into prison ministry." And one of the folks I was privileged to learn about prison ministry with is a fellow named Buck Griffith that's been in prison ministry for 46, 47 years now, and he didn't plan on it either, and he's never met anyone. So we're going to take a few minutes this evening and talk about a prison ministry update for here. And notice that we're going to cover very briefly the where are we doing this, who are we working with from a regulatory standpoint. What is prison ministry? Why? The status? Our future thoughts about prison ministry? Some comments from the inmates, and then some of the men that are going in, also they're going to share some of their comments with us briefly. And then we're going to save a few minutes at the end for questions and answers. So If you've got something that you've wondered about prison ministry and it's not addressed here in the next few minutes, we hope you'll remember that question and go ahead and ask us. And you can see very, very clearly that just to the side of that tower says, I was in prison and you came to me. And yes, you have to go through fences, through gates, past walls to get into the prison. But let's take a look now and see just what or who and where. We work with the Tennessee Department of Corrections, and that's the Northeast Correctional Complex. There's two units in Mountain City, the main compound that houses about 1,600 men, and the main annex that houses 300. And then in Carter County, which is the minimum security prison, there's 180. Now notice that what it says about the mission of the Tennessee Department of Correction: to provide safe and secure prisons. Safe for the inmate, safe for the correctional officer, safe for the volunteer or any visitor. We help in some small way, as you'll see, because we're able to take God's word to these men, and that can help change their lives. And we've witnessed that through the years. Our primary goal is basically to move someone who's being self-centered to someone who is God-centered. In a nutshell, that's what we're doing with the various courses and worship services. So what is it? What does this really look like? Well, we're involved with prison ministry both behind and beyond the bars, both cases. One of the things that we see behind the bars is faith-based life skill curriculum. We do seminars, all-day seminars, worship services on Sunday, and then ministerial visits one-on-one. And those two pictures there, and that first picture at the top, that's one of the volunteers talking, and you can't really tell from that picture, but that's an open Bible on that book, on that table. And that open Bible was there. We were having a graduation party for a class, and one of the inmates had a question. And this volunteer, some of you may recognize him, it's Fred Fields from Rome Mountain. He's very helpful for almost a 6-year period in Rome Mountain in the prisons. And I remember the comment that Fred always made when someone had a question, spiritual question. That's a good question. Let's see what the Bible says. Bible-based. And then beyond the bars, we're involved with correspondence courses, pen pal program, of which Dennis and Linda Russell are active in that. That started a few months ago. Mentors, which we're working on right now to get permission to be a mentor both behind bars and beyond the bars. And then to help with reentry. And Tim had alluded to the fact that some folks may think, why not just lock them up and put the key under? Well, one of the ways to look at it is what Tim read in the scripture. If there's a biblical command. But also, when we look at it, prison ministry is simply another ministry of the church. It augments all of our other ministries that we have. It could be associated with a county jail, a city jail, a state prison, or a federal prison. We're working primarily right now with state prisons. And one of the things that we do on the worship service is that we offer all acts of worship. The only thing that's different is our offering is non-monetary. But some men still will send, and we've received checks from them as an offering, and they want it dedicated to the prison ministry. Some of these men are making just, 50 or 60 cents an hour. Some at Mountain City are working in a wood flooring plant where they make more money. So that's really a good thing to have. What we also is we do not want people to get out of prison and then return. We want them to get out and stay out. So we want to be mindful of this. We want to have all of these components assist this prison ministry. Move from self-centered to God-centered, get out, stay out. We use Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In fact, it's a It's a phrase that we started, Tim had the idea a little over a year ago, as I recall, where we would start each of our classes with reciting that particular verse. And do not be conformed to this world. That's how most of them got in there. They conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's where we see ourselves moving there. And then a larger picture of this, that's a graduation course. And I hope you can read that up there. It says, through prison ministry, the church shouts, you can't act bad enough for God to give up on you. In that picture are two Tennessee Department of Corrections employees, a chaplain and a counselor for reentry services, and then three volunteers. And one of the inmates in that picture is a brother in Christ. But we work closely with the Tennessee Department of Correction to help further what our goal is, making disciples, and also what their goal is, to operate safe prisons. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Well, there's biblical commandments for it. Tim read one of those for us. And the prison ministry in this area, Northeast, that we've been involved with started in June of 2009. And my wife and I had moved to Rome Mountain in the end of 2008. And we'd gotten started in prison ministry back in Texas. Again, it wasn't our idea, or certainly not my idea. But I can tell you this, it has been good. And I could not have done this if it hadn't been for my wife, Glenda. Would not have happened. So I'm thankful to her for that. The ministry wouldn't have started if it hadn't been for the Rome Mountain Church of Christ being dedicated to getting it started. Small congregation. But we started and we just kept going and kept going and kept going. And God gave the increase. And with this increase came more complexity, more demands, and certainly the realization that this ministry needed elders' oversight. And a year ago, August, the elders here at Central said, we are going to add prison ministry to our outreach. And I'm very thankful. We've seen some very positive growth since then. You'll see some of them walking up here in a few minutes. So that's it. And also spiritual growth. And bear this in mind, the spiritual growth is not just for the inmate. Spiritual growth also is added to the individual, the volunteer, and to the congregation as they learn more about it and helps them to see, yes, this is just another ministry. The only thing really different about it is it has borders or boundaries around it that keep the students, the inmates, on the inside. That's the only difference. Now, one of the other things you see there is reduced recidivism. Recidivism is a number that says, it's a ratio, percentage, that says of the people that get out, what percent return? So the higher the number, the worse the situation. The lower the number, the better we are. And recidivism, there's no standard like there might be for accidents, from OSHA or something like that. Right now in the U.S., state and federal prisons are 2.4 million incarcerated. 97% are going to be released. They're coming to a suburb or a rural area or a city near you and near me. What can we do to help better prepare these folks so that they've changed their way of thinking and therefore changed their way of living so they become a productive member of society? In Tennessee, it costs $27,000 a year to house an inmate. That does not include the capital costs of the facilities. In Tennessee, 55% incarcerated have children under 18. Think what this does to the family. The majority are the primary breadwinner. In Tennessee, Department of Corrections budget for last year was $1 billion. You paid for that, I paid for that, taxpayers paid for that. So one of the things that we want to bear in mind is that if we can go and make disciples, keyword make disciples, who can then teach others, we're planting that seed, and it has the ability to grow. More people who will help help plant and help water. And also, we see that in 1 Thessalonians, to do more and more. Now, that's one of the key things I think that we need to recognize as individuals. We need to continue growing, and as we grow as Christians, we have the ability to do more and more. But there's another thing that boils down to this, and that is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We want them to hear what we have to say. At a worship service this last Sunday, Jordan and I were on the main annex, and we finished up. We asked the guys, what would you like to study in the future? Do you have any questions? Do you have any thoughts? And one of the men, won't reveal any names, just goes by, TJ, he said to Jordan, we're standing there, he said, what I like about this service is that you're trying to help people grow. Too many of the people that come in here just want to, quote unquote, just try to reach the lost, and then they stop. Well, we know as Christians, you can't stop, you have to continue to grow. And I thought that's a key comment and something that we should keep in mind. Now, in this particular picture, you can see Chapman Widener's there. By the way, in that group are two brothers in Christ. Whoops. So what's going on status-wise? New life behavior classes are faith-based life skill. We've had, as you can see, almost 500 students, just under 400 have graduated. This is since June of 2009. Almost 10,000 classroom hours, and our costs have run $27, $28 a graduate. Seminars have done very well. In fact, we've increased the number of seminars, and through the Tennessee Department of Correction, we've got a venue now where we can reach 50 people at a time, where previously we'd been reaching on average only 34. It's a big difference, and we're happy about it. Where some of our support comes from a standpoint of resources? Well, New Life Behavior, which was started in 1984, is something that we use extensively. And there's 14 courses. These are the ones that we teach in the classroom. This one is Managing My Anger. Notice it's a workbook. All of them have 13 lessons, faith-based life skill. So the courses are there to help us get started. This is a recovery course, substance abuse, Christians Against Substance Abuse, acronym CASA. We just this last year started teaching attitudes and behavior, which quite frankly is the foundation for all the courses. If we don't have the right attitude to combat behavior, how can we possibly make a change? So the other folks that we work with, the Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry, affectionately known as TPOM, was actually started in 1963. They're headquartered in Nashville. They're holistic. They have a reentry center, which is 2 years old. They just commissioned a transition house for men. They've started a capital program to have a transition house for women that they hope to start and have completed in 2019. They've been very, very helpful. They also have a church on the premises. They've made a whale of a difference. And then that next step, Christian recovery, Don Humphrey, a brother in Christ, you may know him as the author of The Meanest Man in Texas, of which a movie's been made, and we're told now that the producers are in the process of selecting the distributor, so this will be released to the public. But Don also did something else, and this was a brainchild that he and Buck Griffith, the president of New Life Behavior Ministries, had. They wanted to have something like the Serenity Bible, but it from the Church of Christ. So this is called Journey to Recovery Through Christ. All the step reflections, recovery insights, all those annotations were written by Don Humphrey, edited, looked at by other members of the church. It's the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. All these resources help us to be able to get into the units and get the word passed, God's word passed, and understood. And that's worked out very, very well for us. So what do we want to do in the future? Well, right now, on a month that has four Sundays, we are there five Sundays in the three different units. We'd like to be in every prison every Sunday. That's kind of a mission that's come out of Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry. Every prison, every Sunday. We want to do that. New Life Behavior classes, right now we're just on the main compound with one course, and we're in Roe Mountain, Carter County Annex. We'd like to go to two on the main compound and add the main annex. The seminars, we're only on the main compound right now twice a year. We want to add the main annex and Carter County. And then, as you can see with the pen pals, we want that to grow, get the approval for being mentors, and also continue to add volunteers. We need to be mindful that our requirement is literally just to what? To plant and water, for God gives the increase. That's what we are to do, to the very best of our knowledge. Let's take a look at comments for a minute. And if I could, the men that are going to chat this evening, just share a few points with you, if you don't mind coming up and getting ready. We'll get started. I think, let's see, Jordan's here, and Chig, and Tim, and Billy. Yes, great. We finish this, we're going to ask these gentlemen for some of their feedback. These are some inmate comments from after taking a class. What did you gain from this? Well, I learned that I can and I have changed. And we hear that from the officers, when someone changes. Another one, I've learned that life truly begins when you bring God into your life. And then help, and this is a key one, I think, help me understand the Bible more and how to study even more. So what do we find? We find that New Life Behavior classes, we find that seminars, we find that worship services, we find that ministerial visits one-on-one, they all feed one another. They're pipelines to each of the other units. And that's how we are able to build on this. And it works very, very well. So these men that you see up here, these eight, they're all members of the Church of Christ. Four of them were members when they were arrested. Four of them were baptized in one of the units. We have brothers in Christ. And all we're working with right now is men. In the future, we want to go to city and county jails and also assist with women. But now, if we could take a few minutes, and I'd like to ask the men to just share with you why they're doing prison ministry and what they've learned so far. And Jordan, shall we start with you and go this way? Oh, Garrett, you going to be able to join us? Good. We have five. Wonderful.
I just want to share a few things with you about the things I've learned. I've been doing this with Marshall about a year. So I started last fall, and we went to Carter County and did the Attitudes and Behaviors course. Then I've been to various worship services at both compounds. And one thing that I notice every time is I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is going through the Beatitudes, and he's talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Doesn't matter if it's in the classes or the worship services that we go to, but these men that show up to these things are really desiring to learn more about the Scripture. They ask questions, they're intent every time you're talking about something, they really want to learn, and that's very evident. The other thing I want to stress to you is, when we're going to these classes and things, you know, the main least reservation for me was preparing a lesson. But I'm going to tell you, that's all I've done for you. So those workbooks Marshall had, all the lessons are prepared. So all we really have to do is, if we don't have the time to prepare a whole lesson, it's just get that workbook out, study it for a couple hours, and then you're good to go. I mean, everything in there from what you need to cover, it's all done for you. And so from that standpoint, it's easy for us to pick up those workbooks, learn what we need to do, and go in. The other thing that I was kind of unsure of when I first started this last year was, you know, what's the security like? Are you going to feel threatened in there? And I'm going to be honest with you, not one time that I've ever been into one of these prisons, and I've been in numerous times now, have I ever felt threatened. Not one time. You never feel unsafe. In fact, most times when you walk into the classroom, the men are in there, just about every one of them will greet you with a handshake, and a lot of them will greet you with a hug. And they're genuinely glad to see you there. They're glad that somebody's coming to visit with them and share the scripture with them. And then my comment to Marshall almost every time we walk out, and this is true almost every time, is that, you know, even though we're preparing the lessons and we're teaching to them, the comments, their insights from different perspectives of where they've been in their lives is I learn something from them almost every time I go in. And I feel like I learn more from them than I talk to them that night. And it's so rewarding to go in, to see these guys, to hear their perspectives, to share time with them, to try to teach them. And almost every time I leave, I felt like I've learned more than what I've given. And so it is rewarding work, and I'd encourage you to join if you're not a part. Thanks.
I started in the work, I think, what was it, June? Went up for the first time for the training there, I think, in somewhere in April. And they lost our paperwork for a while, but anyway, we started going up there. But I guess the main reason, I just, about that time and in early spring last year, I think there was a need, and I said, well, hey, I think I could do this, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. As far as, I guess, the services, I'm just at Roan Mount and been there just for the worship services and preparing lessons from time to time and participating in other ways. It's just like Jordan said, these men have a tremendous interest for our services. For example, we have these men will lead singing. Now, maybe it doesn't sound like Jordan leading singing, I can tell you that always, but sometimes we're off tune, but they sing. Everybody sings. If we all sing like they did, we'd raise a roof off this place. But they word prayers. Some really beautifully worded prayers. They ask questions. They're interested. They're there. They're interested in attending. They're not coerced to come. Obviously not in that reason. They could stay in their own cells if they wanted to do that. But they're there. They enjoy it. And it's gratifying, I think, to be with them. I think one thing, too, we've had in our bulletin one of the poems by one of the men, one of the inmates at Roan Mountain, Brian. And Brian does, it's just amazing to me the way he can pull together words in prayer in some of these poems. And these are not short poems. Some of them are very long. And he'll wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'll start working on a poem. And sometimes, I'm not sure how long it takes for him to finish a poem. If I had to do what he did, I'd still be working on that first poem. I tell you that much. But it's really a rewarding work, and I'd love to see more men participating in this work. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Garrett McDonald. I've been a part of the prison ministry since probably January, and I came in kind of late. I don't know how much they touched on it, but you know, you have to go through kind of a training there at the beginning, where they tell you about, you know, ins and outs of the prison and all that stuff, and it's a very good preface to the ministry and just about what the prison's going to be like and stuff like that, so you don't go in and get steamrolled or anything or culture shocked or whatever. So they do a really good job of preparing you for that. But I wanted to be a part of it because I'm a school counselor, and I, at the time at my school, a ton of my kids had their parents were incarcerated. I just kept seeing kid after kid who had a parent that was in jail or in prison. And that's what really attracted me to the program. And, you know, selfishly, I wanted to do this for me to see what it was like for my career and that kind of thing, and ended up getting more out of it as a man and as a, you know, brother in Christ to some of these guys. And I don't know, and it's just so uplifting every time we leave there. It's always good to, you know, marshal the man hours he puts into this stuff just when we're leaving, he's talking to Tim about who was there, who wasn't there. I wonder how this person's doing. So, you know, a lot of care about these guys that are in there. And, you know, we so often we, you know, I don't know, just clump people together as prisoners, and they're all, you know, I don't know. And it's just a very misconception, and a lot of these men are just, I don't know, they made bad choices at a young age, and they're having to pay for those consequences, and they're trying to find their way, and it's really uplifting. But, you know, these guys, they do a great job, and, you know, the more help, the more people we could reach. And, you know, I'm not able to go every single month, and that's okay. So, and, you know, Marshall and Tim, they're super great about, hey, are you going to be able to come this month? No, okay, maybe next month. So if you're able to join, you know, I'm not able to go every month, but you don't have to be available every single month to go to be a part of this. It's just it's a really good thing, and I'm really proud to be a part of it, even every now and then here at Central. So.
My name is Tim White, and I've been a part of the ministry now for just a short time. I was present at the last time we had this kind of meeting and was there and thought that, yes, that's something that I could do, that I could be part of the ministry. To bring the blessing of the gospel is just a wonderful thing. That it's taken a while for me to be able to get to that point. Providence is just a wonderful thing, and when you see it come about, it took a while. As I said, I wasn't able to go to the orientation. I work out of town most of the time, so most of those orientations were done through the week, and as I say, Providence allowed me to be able to attend on a Saturday. And these fellows here have told you a lot about the ministry and so on. But anyway, just to say that by the hand of God that I was able to be a part of that is just a joy. And I'd like to just mention a little bit of scripture there that Paul wrote in his letters at the end, to be able to have a door of utterance. And when you walk in and see a group of men pull the tables together, set the chairs up, open their Bibles, and sit down quietly, patiently, you know that prayer's been answered.
Hello, my name is Billy Buselmeyer. I got involved in this ministry around the same time as Garrett did. We actually went to the introductory meeting on the same day. It was very interesting. Been doing this for about since January as well. My wife Amy and our daughter moved back to this area a little over a year ago, and right around that same time, Tim gave a lesson on, I don't know exactly what it was about, like teaching and working with people who are incarcerated. You know, I've known a number of folks who've been incarcerated before. I've had friends. It's touched my own family. So, you know, thinking about that, hearing Tim's lesson, and also just thinking about the scripture, how it's, you know, a command in Matthew chapter 25 that this is something we should be a part of. I felt a very strong pull that this was something that I should do and something that I wanted to be a part of. I'm involved in a very, very, very small way. I go out to Mountain City on the first Sunday of every month and help out with worship service. I go out there with a great group of guys from here. We have a gourmet lunch at McDonald's every time, or Arby's sometimes. Arby's as well is in there from time to time. And then we go up to one of the two prison sites and we have worship service with these guys. They'll put me to work either with a lesson, or Tim tells me it's preaching that I do sometimes. I don't know about that so much, but I'll do one of those sorts of things, and we'll take communion with them. And well, it's that, that's kind of my involvement, and that's something that all of y'all could be a part of as well. You know, the lessons, the dudes up there, the gentlemen up there make it pretty easy. They are extremely, very, very much involved. So it's not like you're, you know, trying to pull teeth. It's not like you're trying to, you know, work hard to get a bunch of people participating. They are there, they're involved, and they're wanting to learn. And about the guys themselves, you know, they've done probably some pretty bad things, but every single one of them is coming to these services because they choose to, because they're wanting to repent, and they're wanting to change their lives for the better. So if that's something any of y'all hearing us all talk about this, if that's something that, you know, you feel a pulling on your heart like I did, please, please, we'd love to have you involved with it.
Thank you, men. I've had the pleasure of being with each one of them in services, and I can tell you they are actively engaged, and it does make a difference. Bear this in mind. Prisoners have time to listen, and they are apt to listen, and that's one of the wonderful things. Any questions? Any questions about the prison? Well, you may think of one while I'm talking about this guy for just a couple of minutes. That's John Henry Pruitt. He's an icon in prison ministry in Texas. He just turned 90 years old two months ago. John Henry wrote a tract that says, "What keeps me free after 37 and a half years in prison?" Now, he didn't do that in one stretch. John Henry caught an offense in North Texas. He went to prison, he served his time, he got out, never going to go back, but he did. As he says it, "I was doing life on the installment plan." After 31 years, he decided, hey, this isn't working. And he'd been going to worship services and Bible classes all along. Why? Extra coffee, maybe donuts, and maybe some honey buns. But after 31 years, he said, you know what? I think I'm going to start listening. Some folks with at that time with New Life Behavior, that was in 1986, he was actually baptized. 6 years later, he got out. He's been out since 1992. In Corpus Christi, he worked for the city in logistics for a while, and then he basically retired from that and worked with New Life Behavior since he was until 2 years ago, when his health wouldn't permit him anymore, permit him to help in the office, or he got special permission from the Tennessee Department of Correction to go into the units and teach CASA. That's all he taught, Christians Against Substance Abuse, any addictive agent, chemical or non-chemical. He has been a great inspiration, and I think that phrase right there that's in the track, "What keeps me free after 37 and a half years in prison," is absolutely right. At the start of every course, we give that track to all of the students. And that's where that phrase comes from. That's a quote from John Henry. "I learned that it is Christ, not conditions, that count, that matters most." Whether you're in prison or whatever your conditions may be beyond the bars. So if you have an interest in prison ministry, either behind the bars or beyond the bars, pen pal, etc., we'd love to talk with you. Any one of us, or Tim or Dennis, we'd love to talk to you about it. You know, John, and by the way, that "Here I am, Lord, send me," that came from John Henry. He used that a lot. And he learned that it was Christ. Now, there may be some folks here tonight that are not in Christ, that have not become a child of God. But maybe you've been wondering about that and seeing on the screen that prisoners can be baptized in prison, and we're not in prison. Maybe you've heard the word, you believe it, you're ready to repent, confess, and be baptized. There's nothing stopping you from doing that tonight. Or perhaps you are a child of God and there's been something that's caused some separation. from God that's created some problems in your life. If you'd like the prayers of the church, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. With that, let's stand up and sing our invitation song.